Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's one common thread, it might be that men perceive church as too feminine.
We have to be aggressive in the world when it's appropriate. We are warriors.
1, 2, 3. Warriors!
You are a real man when you commit to study God's word and you commit to being conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the biblical perspective on being a man.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Steaming. Absolutely steaming. This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday. We are at Georgia Tech. I'm the one who's steaming. I'm not kidding. As I pulled into the parking lot minutes ago, getting out of the parking lot here at Georgia Tech, a lot of the kids in high schools are taking tours out of this Mambo, not very environmentally friendly vehicle. Out jumps this girl, and I'm guessing 17 years old. She's clearly here to visit the campus. I'm not kidding. She had on a pair of shorts. These were, I won't describe them. I don't want any guys to stumble or fall. They were the most ridiculous things I have ever seen. And I immediately thought, where's Dad? Pulled her onto the other side of the car. There he is. Da, 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 da. Just completely oblivious. Oh, that makes me mad. It's one thing, and this is bad enough, that this little girl is going to be looked at like a piece of meat walking around. It's bad enough that there's a bunch of guys who are dogs on this campus who are going to be staring at her and sinning. But I'm telling you, when it's a daddy who's sitting there and just seeing it and completely oblivious and has no desire to protect her, to protect men, oh. Sir, do you give approval to what your daughter is wearing?
Oh, that's like so Puritan, man.
No, it's not. It's what a good daddy does to protect her, to protect men, and so that God's reputation isn't besmirched. Just do it. Hey, you know what? Before you take the tags off, let's just take a look and see what you're going to wear. Be cool about it. Don't be ridiculous about it. But just make sure they understand you love them enough to protect them. And a buddy of mine just told me this. It's going to be a little trickier in my house to do this because Jack is 10 and his sisters are older. He involves the oldest brother to give approval for the younger sister's clothing too. And you think, well, what's up with that? Because it starts to instill in him the idea that he should be protecting women, specifically in this case his younger sister, and it starts training him to be a man and a good daddy, and it also lets the little sister know that there's men who care enough about her to protect her. Oh, these are the worst I've ever seen. I'm not kidding. 16, 17 years old, and there's Dad. Oh, honestly, you know, would this be wrong to walk up to, okay, I would pretend to be really nice and say something like, "Sir, do you have any idea what men think when they look? Is that your daughter? Do you know what they're thinking about your daughter? I'm just curious." And then maybe leave it at that. Would that be so wrong to do? Sorry, that wasn't the opening monologue. This is Wretched Radio. Oh, just one thing when the girl does it obliviously. And typically, by the way, you look around and you go, "Where's Mom?" Oh, look, she's got a matching pair. What a shocker that is. But when Dad is, oh, man up, sir, and protect your daughter. All righty, we're at Georgia Tech. It's Witness Wednesday. All right, let me describe for you the young man who's walking away from the blowers. He is skinny. Oh, no. I'm going to have to do some exercise, which means you're going to hear me huffing and puffing. This is pretty sad. Okay, do you remember the stairs that Rocky ran up? Okay, these aren't quite as long, but they're close. There's the blower guy. Excuse me, young man. Hey, hold on. Slow down. I'm out of shape. Where are you walking right now?
I'm walking to the physics building.
To the physics building. Can I talk to you while you're walking on the radio?
I guess so. Sure. What is this for?
It's for radio.
Oh, yeah. Well, radio as far as like... What
I don't want to tell you because that's what it's about. What is? Are you studying physics?
Yes, sir.
Teach me one thing about physics.
One thing about physics
that I can use. I'm a regular Joe. Give me something I can use.
Something that you can use. I have to ask for something. There's a lot of things you can use.
One thing we'll do.
One thing we'll do.
How long have you been going to school?
My first year as a graduate student.
Oh, so you've already got your undergrad.
Yes, sir.
You got lots of things you could tell me. Go.
I'm trying to think off the cuff what I can give you that's useful.
All right, let me ask you, what are you wearing around your neck?
This is a cartouche of my name in hieroglyphics.
It's a what?
It's a cartouche. It's my name in the hieroglyphics.
Really, what is your name in hieroglyphics?
Well, I mean, I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't know the pronunciation, but...
Why hieroglyphics?
I just like the Egyptian culture.
Is it a religious thing?
Not a religious thing, just a cultural appreciation.
All right, and what's the... And there's a tooth of some sort?
Oh, yeah, so this is a mask. It kind of wore off when I visited South Africa. I just bought this.
And what does it represent?
It's like a warrior mask.
Ah, all right, you just like it.
Yeah, I just like the way it looks.
It's jewelry.
Yeah.
All right, and hold on, you got to stop for a minute. What is this? Your shirt has got, what exactly is going on? There's like crosses on it.
Yeah.
Different types of crosses. I don't know what they are, but they're different crosses, kind of scary faces. What's that about?
Yeah, when I saw it in the store, it just kind of grabbed my attention. I just bought it.
It spoke to you.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, are you a Christian?
I don't really belong to a particular religious denomination. I'm kind of... I can appreciate aspects of all religions, I guess you could say that.
Which one do you think is right?
I don't think anyone is right in particular.
So they're all right?
They're all right. I think they're all incomplete.
Really?
Yeah.
Christianity, how is it incomplete?
I mean, you can't claim that you know everything about God or that you can prove.
I agree with that.
So, I mean, they might have certain aspects that are helpful as far as, living your life in a good way, but...
But how is Christianity incomplete?
How is it incomplete? I mean, just as any other religion would be incomplete. They don't know everything about God.
Well, if we did, we would be God. But we can know everything that he's revealed to us, correct?
Maybe. Yeah, it depends on your perception of God.
Okay. So Christianity, which is kind of what you're modeling on your shirt right there, what does it teach about God?
What does Christianity teach about God? I'm probably not the right person to ask. I don't study the Bible too much in depth.
But you just told me it's not complete.
I still don't think it's complete. I haven't studied everything.
But you haven't read it.
I'm coming from a more of an overall point of view. I'm saying that no religion can sit there and...
But how do you know you haven't studied it?
I don't think
if I were your physics professor, I'd be getting my red pen out right now. All right, let's give this a go. Okay. All right, this is what Christianity teaches. Christianity teaches that every other religion is wrong. Let's start there.
Okay, if they teach that, then I don't agree that they should be doing that.
Okay, but what if it's correct?
If Christianity is correct?
Yeah, and everything else is wrong.
I don't know what I could do about that if they were correct. I don't know what I could do about that.
Well, that's the claim of Christianity. It's right, everything else is wrong.
I mean, that's one person's opinion. That doesn't bother me.
But it's either true or false.
Is it either true or false? Well, you're talking about whether Christianity is correct or incorrect?
Yeah.
It's hard to speak about that when you talk about, you're speaking about opinions.
Here's what Jesus said. This was his opinion.
Okay.
I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. That was his opinion. Now, that is either correct or incorrect. Fair enough?
I mean, and was this quoted? Or, I mean, did someone just claim that?
For a fact.
I mean, history books are always incorrect also.
True, but they don't have to be, and this one isn't.
Yeah.
Okay, let's examine this. What's your first name? You're a nice guy. What's your first name?
Chris,
nice. Chris, you know where that name comes from?
Yeah, so Christopher, and then I guess it's based off of Christ.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Jesus said that because he is God himself, and the only way that you can go to heaven is through him because of what he's done. Mm-hmm. That's what Christianity teaches. All the other systems teach you got to work your way there. Jesus says, nope, you got to be forgiven in order to go to heaven.
Yeah, I even remember when I was raised a Christian. When I was younger, and I remember sitting in a Sunday school, and we brought that issue up, what about the other religions, if they, have slightly different beliefs, or they don't think that they have to, get to heaven through Jesus Christ directly, what happens to them, she kind of just stated directly that, they will go to hell. That kind of, angered me.
I understand that, but I want to reason with you for a minute, okay?
Okay.
Here's why everybody, this is going to be a little bold for you,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
This is why everybody should go to hell. Ready? Everybody in the entire planet should go to hell. Here's why. Because they're lawbreakers. They've broken the rules of the king. For instance, the Ten Commandments. For instance, lying, stealing, lusting, blasphemy. Everybody has broken those laws. They are criminals for breaking the laws. And the just judge must give them what they have earned for themselves, and that is eternal punishment. That is why everybody should go to hell. More specific, would you agree that everybody on the entire planet has broken the Ten Commandments?
It'd probably be safe to say that everybody.
I think so. Okay, so let me hone it in a little bit, Chris. Specifically, have you broken the Ten Commandments?
Let's see. I know probably which one of them.
Let's start with lying.
Father,
it's honor thy father and mother.
I've lied before. So yeah. I guess that's one.
And you dishonored your parents by lying.
Yeah.
And you're a guy, so I presume you've lusted.
Yes.
Which Jesus said is adultery of the heart, because God sees beyond our actions and he looks at what we do and what we think. Everything that goes on inside of our brain, he has access to. So lusting, you're nabbed, okay? Blasphemy, that's when you use God's name in a bad way. Have you committed that crime?
Probably done that before, yeah.
Okay, so forget the world for a minute.
Okay.
You die, you stand before the perfect judge who doesn't overlook crimes. Would you be innocent or guilty?
I mean, according to those rules, I guess I'd be guilty.
That's right. You would. So what should a just judge do with a guilty criminal when, on a cosmic scale, should he take you to heaven or should he send you to hell?
Well, I mean, I guess based on that, I'd have to serve my time, right? Like, if I'm guilty, then I'd have to do my time.
Yeah, that's right.
Things go.
And that's bad news, isn't it?
Yeah, that is pretty bad news. I hope that they claim that it's eternal punishment, huh?
That's right.
I guess that would be pretty
and the
bad.
Reason is it's because it's a crime against an eternally perfect and an infinitely perfect God. Mm. Chris, we're going to start walking again. I'm taking a break. You're in hell, and we're going to start walking. Fair enough?
All right, come on, let's go.
All right. we got to do our thing here first here. All righty. We're at Georgia Tech. I am here with Chris, whose name comes from Christ. That's right, dude. And we're going to be talking more about him in just a moment on Wretched Radio.
If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsene, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandmother used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
It's another day and another episode of Wretched Radio. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in and listening today. We're always appreciative of your time, and we're also appreciative when you send us your stories. Just like this story, which was sent in at idea@wretched.org. He says, I'm a young man from Ghana, West Africa, and it's so refreshing to see your love for God and His Word and your passion and desire to reach people for the kingdom. I admire your courage, persistence, faith, and resolve to represent the kingdom of God and to expose the gospel to the world. And that's exactly what we do here at Wretched. We want to expose the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world, and we need your help to do it. If you want to help us produce more stories like this, would you prayerfully consider becoming a monthly gospel partner? We can't do what we do without our gospel partners. Visit wretched.org/donate to find out all of the details right now. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
You are one of those people who considers long and hard to whom you're going to give your discretionary funds. Don't blame you for that. Would like to let you know, if you are considering preborn.org, that they are a holistic ministry. Not like Whole Foods, not all hippy-dippy. I mean, they're well-rounded. Not only ultrasounds for women who are considering abortions, which 80% of the time save the child's life, they do that. They also counsel the mommies, help them to become good mommies. They provide clothing. They provide diapers. They provide baby food. And if that isn't holistic enough, they counsel the dads, because 84% of the time dads are involved, boyfriends are involved with the abortion. They're pressuring the women. And Preborn teaches them how to be men who can be good dads. Sound holistic enough? Preborn.org. Preborn.org.
Know your church fathers. John Chrysostom was the bishop of Syria and Constantinople in the 4th century. He was an eloquent preacher and earned the moniker Chrysostom, which means golden-mouthed. He denounced abuses of authority in church and government and fought for purity of life and doctrine.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You may recall, as we left off, Chris was in hell. Right, Chris?
I guess so.
I guess so. This is Wretched Radio. We're at Georgia Tech walking with a physics student. Dude, if we could stop right here in the shade. Oh, this is sweet. All right. So if that's the God that you have to face on Judgment Day, no lawyer, no judge, you, God. All right? He's seen your thought life. He's seen everything you've done, everything you failed to do. Mm-hmm. Like, thank him for your food. Mm-hmm. Thank him for parents. Thank him for the education. Thank him for the air that you're taking from him, because it's his air. So you're stealing his air and not saying thank you. Okay. He judges you. You'd be guilty. Imagine the wrath of that God. Horrifying thought.
Yeah, I guess that'd be pretty scary.
All right. Now, you've got crosses on your T-shirt here. That is a major symbol in Christianity, and it is humongous good news for a guy like you. What is the meaning of the cross?
I mean, from history's point of view, I know that Jesus was crucified on the cross. That's where he was, you know, convicted and killed.
That's right.
So, I mean, that represents, like, his sacrifice for all the people who follow him.
His sacrifice for our sins.
Yeah.
It was a sin offering for you. Mm-hmm. All the crimes you've committed, put on Jesus. He took your punishment so that his goodness, because he kept all the laws you broke, and his goodness can be credited to your account. So when you die, God could see you as good, in fact, even as righteous because of what Jesus did, because your badness was put on him, his goodness given to you. That's what the cross is about.
Okay.
That's the good news, and that's why he's the only way. Because if you die a Buddhist or you die a Hindu, and you don't have that forgiveness from Jesus, God must give you what you deserve, and that is his punishment. He's got to do it. He's got to be just. That's why he sacrificed the Son. He can't just turn a blind eye to justice and go, well, boys will be boys. Let's just let them go. No, he's got to be just. But he's loving, so he sent his Son, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life, justice satisfied, kindness demonstrated to you. And therefore, Jesus can make the claim, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody can get to the Father because nobody's perfect, but through me and what I've done. That's the good news of the gospel, and that's why it's exclusive.
I always wondered, so what makes Christianity more correct than, you know, any other religion? And as far as Islam, you know, why can't they praise Allah and still be just as fine? Maybe their beliefs, you know, in heaven and hell are different, so, you know.
This will be a really bad analogy, but work with me a little bit on this. You don't have kids, do you?
No, I don't have kids.
All right, imagine that you had some children.
Okay.
And you, when they were little, you changed their diapers, mm-hmm. you cleaned them up, you gave them bottles, you fed them, you burped them, you did everything mm-hmm. kind. They grew up, you paid for all their food and all their clothes, and you showed them kindness, and you took them to the park, and you gave them an education.
Okay.
And they gave all their affection to the next-door neighbor.
Mm.
How would you feel?
I guess that would hurt.
It would hurt, and here's what makes it doubly bad with God. There is no next-door neighbor. They don't actually exist. So they're actually giving their affections to what God calls an idol because they don't exist. And it makes him mad because he deserves it. Because after all, if he made you, it's fair, Chris, that he should have rights to you. I mean, he's given you everything. He owns you. It's fair that he should get praise from you. Right? So the other world systems, and here's the difference. This is, okay, we're standing on some squares here. Imagine in this square in the concrete. Okay, let's put Islam in there, and let's put Buddhism, and Hinduism, and Mormonism, and Jehovah's Witness, and Roman Catholicism, and anything else you want in there.
Okay.
And here's what they all teach. They say, try to be a good guy, Chris. And overall, if you're a good guy, when you die, you'll either be reincarnated to a better place, you'll be with 70 virgins, you'll become connected to the great big nothingness, it'll be better. If you're good overall, right? Jesus is in that box over there. And he says, you can't do anything good. All you've done is bad. You've broken all of my laws. In fact, you've hated me your entire life. And I'm going to give you exactly what you deserve, and that is my wrath and punishment. But I'm good, and I'm rich in mercy, and I will save you because I died on a cross, taking the punishment that you deserve, so that if you'll respond to what I've done for you in repentance, which means to agree with God you're not good, to say, I'm sorry, God, I have sinned against you, and against you only have I sinned. And you turn from your sins, doesn't mean you become perfect, but you don't like the lusting and the lying and the cheating anymore, and you put your trust in him and him alone, forsaking any other idols or concepts of God, he says, I will forgive you completely, and I will take you to heaven, not based on what you've done, like these religious systems say, mm-hmm. but based on what I've done. Because you see, if these systems are true, then you can praise yourself. You know what I did to get reincarnated? You know what I did to go to heaven? I did these good things. Jesus says, no, you've done bad, but I've done good, and therefore you can praise me because I've done everything for you. So if Jesus is right, all of these systems must be wrong because they contradict each other completely. Mm-hmm. This is work righteous. That is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus alone. See, this one's got the bad news front loaded here. Okay? Mm-hmm. It says you're not good, you're in big trouble, you're desperately wicked, and you need a Savior. And if you'll admit that, mm-hmm. that's the tough pill to swallow. I haven't been good, I've been bad. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says if you have a childlike heart and admit and come to him, not pleading your own case and making excuses, mm-hmm. I'll save you and I'll adopt you and I will make you my child and I will take you to heaven so that I can be praised for all of eternity for saving a sinner like Chris. So tough news up front, mm-hmm. but really great news if you're willing to admit that you're a sinner. These... You better start working really, really hard to make up for all the lying, lusting, and cheating you've done. Okay? So you should figure out which system is true. That's the big thing, because it doesn't even matter what I say, Chris, because I could be really a dope and I don't have any idea what I'm talking about. Okay. You should figure out what's true, because Jesus made the claim, I am the truth. So either he is or he isn't. Fair enough?
I guess so. I mean, it's going to be tough for humans to figure out the true nature of God. If we ever come to any... kind of concept of what truth is, but
let me try this example. All right, you're studying physics. Okay. Give me a big fancy physics formula or concept. Do you have one?
Sure, I can give you the formula for the magnetic field due to like a current carrying wire.
Uh-huh.
It's called the Biot-Savart law.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, you just communicated some information to me.
Okay.
All right, and I have no idea what it meant.
Okay.
All right, but I know that I'm looking at a black guy,
okay.
who's about five. What are you? Five,
I'm pretty sure.
Seven?
Five. Not shorter than me, like five.
Okay.
Five.
So what has been revealed to me that I can grasp,
mm-hmm.
I can get that about you.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff, you're smarter than me, I can't get those things. Okay?
Okay.
God is way smarter than us. We can't get those big things because okay. we'd be God if we got all of those things.
Okay.
Right? Because if we knew everything God knew, then we'd be God.
Okay.
But the things that he's revealed to us, we can understand and we can grasp.
Okay.
And he has chosen to reveal him to the infinite, has made himself accessible to the finite. Our little pea brains compared to his can't grasp everything, but we can grasp what he's told us.
Okay.
And what he's told us resonates in truth with us because our conscience tells us, you know what, I have done wrong things and I know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel guilty because I am guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So he's given us that ability to understand our guilt. He's given us a universe to understand that he's big and that he made the place and he made you. And the Bible makes a lot of sense. It's the only thing that's consistent, and it satisfies the big question, how can I be made right with a holy God? These systems say, work your tail off, maybe. This one says, you don't have a chance, but I'll save you because I'm good. So we can know enough about God to grasp him and get him, and you should figure out if what the Bible says is true or not. Forget what I'm saying. Is the Bible true or isn't it? That's the million-dollar question.
Okay. Yes, it looks like I have to do some searching on my own to figure out where I stand.
And it's good to do that. Here's what Jesus said. He said a king, when he goes to war,
mm-hmm.
he takes a look at his troops, mm-hmm. and he looks at the other guy's troops to figure out if he's got a shot at winning.
Because okay.
you're stupid to enter into the battle if you're going to get clobbered.
Okay.
Christianity demands something of you.
Mm-hmm.
It demands death to Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Not killing yourself, not jumping off a building.
Right.
You're done with the old you. You turn from your sins, which means whatever sins you happen to be into, whatever lusts that you have that you love,
mm-hmm.
they're done. They're gone, and you should count the cost, and you should know that that's required of you. Now, you can't do it yourself, and he'll help you do it, but you need to know that that's the cost of following him, that you have got to die to yourself, forsake your sins, trusting in him and following after him,
mm-hmm.
not because that earns your heaven,
mm-hmm.
but because you're so grateful that he's earned heaven for you. But there's a cost, man. But consider this. Jesus said this. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Your eyes are precious, aren't they? They're the windows to your soul. And I know you wouldn't sell one of those to me for $1 million, would you? Right? Now, if your eyes are that precious, what's the value of your soul that looks out through those eyes?
Priceless.
It's priceless, man. And you know what? Oddly enough, despite the fact that you've sinned, mm-hmm. that's exactly what God says about you. You have done nothing but sin against me, but I love you anyway. And I want that soul, and I want you to be my child. But you've got to respond in repentance and faith, and then you will become his child. Fair enough?
Yeah, so look more into that, but yeah.
All right, you got a Bible?
I do have one, yeah.
Read the Gospel of John.
Gospel of John.
All right?
Okay.
Pretty straight. You know, read as much as you want every day. Just dive in there.
Okay.
And you're going to read about Jesus and why he came to this world to rescue you. He's God, and he came to be the perfect sacrifice for your sins. And it'll scream it loud and clear to you. And it's good news. Okay?
Okay, yeah, I'll take a look.
Hey, you're a gentleman. Hey, I'm glad we bumped into each other. All right, Chris?
It was good talking to you.
Hey, see you, man.
All right, take care.
Study on. See ya. That is the second time today that that's happened. In talking to a complete stranger. And when it was all done talking to this young man during the breaks, he said, you know, I've been trying to figure out the answers to these questions. They're everywhere. It is our job, dear Christian, to get out there and find them and witness to them, which is what we'll do next, Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Important dates in Christian history. 1646. The Westminster Confession is drafted in the Jerusalem room at Westminster Abbey. The confessions were drafted by an assembly of Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and Independents, and became the foundation of Reformed theology throughout Europe and America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday. I'm at Georgia Tech. Here's what we're going to do. There are four young men. Oh, this is going to be tricky, but we're going to give it a go anyway. Hey, guys. I got to talk to you on the radio just for a minute. Are you going to class right now?
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Can
we
I?
Jerk. That's
what we You're jerk. Doing what?
Yeah, we jerk. We're a jerking crew.
I don't know what that means.
We dance.
I wouldn't know.
All the
you
time.
You dance?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Wait a second. What's this on your front? Who's that on your front there?
It's a picture of Jesus.
Oh, and it says what?
Rebel since birth.
What does that mean?
He don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Hey, you're just wearing the shirt.
I just like the colors.
You got to be different. You know what I'm saying? Jesus was different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he lives like different on a different status. You hear me?
Wait a second. Are you a Christian?
Yeah.
Okay, so is that, as a Christian, is that what it means to be a Christian? You're just supposed to be different?
No. Is you supposed to stand out? You're supposed to, you know, be different. You're supposed to, you know, lead people in the Word.
Yeah. Okay, lead me in the Word. Go.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I don't know.
I want to become a Christian. Help me.
I mean, there's no really any distinctive way. You just got to learn your difference, and you got to show your strengths. If you got to be a leader, you know what I'm saying? You got to step out. You got to show somebody.
Okay, I have no idea what you're talking about. I want to become a Christian right now. Okay, you've got the Jesus shirt. You're a Catholic.
I feel that women are just as important as guys are in this world, except.
And I want to become a Christian. Help me.
I think you should be a Catholic, honestly.
What's the difference?
There is no difference.
There is. Catholics believe in Mary. More than Christians do.
Mary?
Yeah.
How do I get to heaven, Catholic?
You just do kind deeds.
All I have to say is
be the best person. Best person you can be.
Wait, you have to pay money?
You have to give the money to church.
Don't listen to that. Yeah. That was a bad
time. You got to be the best person you can be physically.
Okay, wait a second. Wait a minute. What are you?
I am Christian.
All right. And you're a Christian, right? Yeah. And you are a?
Christian.
And you're a Catholic.
Catholic.
Okay.
Are you really Catholic?
Okay, so make.
I was raised by women. And that's how I was taught.
I was raised by women, too, but we're not Catholic.
All right. Okay, wait a second. Okay, we're all Christians over here, and you're a Catholic, okay? Convert us to Catholicism. You got 30 seconds. Go.
You guys should like women just as much as I do.
I'm guessing that's not a problem, but I don't know that that's the issue here. Okay.
Like, women are just as big of a role as guys are, except we all have different jobs, dude. But the jobs they do are just as important as ours.
All right, I want to ask each of you a question, all right? Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I would.
Yeah, what about you, rebel since birth? Are you a good person?
Yes, I am.
All right, Christian, are you a good person?
Yeah.
Now, what are you listening to in your ears?
Something bad. I'm listening to Unstoppable.
I don't know, what is it, is that bad music?
It's good music. Drake.
Yeah. I don't know, is it dirty music?
Bad. No.
Sexual.
No.
Any swearing in there?
Yeah. But I don't consider cursing like a bad thing.
All right.
It's just
a good thing.
It's the public's view of cussing, just like it's the public's view on gays. Like you just find it acceptable.
Okay. All right. Are you a good person?
I honestly think I'm a good person.
Yeah, you do. Are you a good person, young man?
I think I'm a good person.
All right. Okay, you guys. Hey, especially you. Come here. I want to test you. I'm going to give you a test now. You ready? Are you going to school here?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give you a test. Sorry, but you don't have to turn it in. You're not going to be graded, but it's free, okay? How many lies do you think you've told in your lifetime?
Over 5,000.
Over 5,000. A lot. You're not going to lie this time. Okay. Yeah.
Everybody lies.
Have you lied?
Huh?
Have you told lies?
Yeah.
Yeah. And? Yeah. Yeah? Yes? Yeah. Yes? Yeah. Yes? You've okay. Yeah, now, if I told lies, what would you call me? What name would I get? If I tell lies, I am a?
A human.
A human who?
Lies.
That's right. So would it be fair for me to say, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're all liars? Is that right?
Everybody lies, so you can't.
I agree.
Because nobody could say that.
Okay, but everybody who gets pulled before the judge who's guilty, just because everybody else breaks the law doesn't mean they're innocent. Okay, how many things have you stolen in your lifetime? Doesn't have to be from a store. It can be from your parents, at a house, from a friend.
I'd say 5 things.
All right?
Yeah, probably 5.
5 things?
I mean, I'd say gum.
Doesn't matter the size of the object. You just took it.
I mean, a couple of things. I don't know. Like,
all right, but you only have to steal one thing, and that would make you a...
A thief,
that's right. Okay, hold on. This is going to get a little trickier, and don't get all goofy on me. Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust, you know what I'm talking about, you've committed adultery in your heart. All right?
I think everybody's doing that in their lifetime. I do it a lot. I did today, for example.
All right. And young man?
Yeah, I just did it.
Uh-huh. And you just did? Is that the rumor?
No, I didn't just did.
Oh, okay, fine. And have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Yeah? And you've done that?
Yeah.
Right. You?
Yes.
And you have done? Okay. Here's the summary. You just told me that you're good people, but I just asked you a few questions, and you confessed to me that you're liars, you're thieves, and you're adulterers at heart. That does not sound like a good person to me. Here's the next question. No, you're not a good person. You're a liar, you're a thief, and you're an adulterer, right?
Yeah.
Right? It makes you immoral, right? You only have to do something once, and you're a criminal. Okay, so now here's the big question. Let's say you died. I know you're young, and that's a really far-off thought. But let's say you died, and God opened up the books on your life. He even sees your thought life. Would you be found innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Innocent or guilty, young man?
Innocent because...
You just confessed to me you broke the laws.
No, because everybody in America, so...
It doesn't matter.
Everybody does it.
Yeah, I agree, but that's irrelevant.
Nobody's going to be in heaven. So,
that's a different thought, but right, that could be. But what about you? You'd be guilty.
I'd be guilty, but everybody's
innocent.
I'd probably be guilty.
Not probably, definitely.
Yeah, I'd be guilty.
Right, young man?
Unless I repent.
Young man?
I'd be guilty.
You'd be guilty?
I'd probably be guilty, but if everybody...
He'd be guilty. I'd be guilty, too.
All right, and young man?
I ain't gonna say that.
You'd be innocent or guilty?
Guilty,
All right. No fifth pleading. It doesn't make any difference because God knows everything anyway. So it doesn't matter what you say in your defense.
Glitch. That's what we do.
I don't know what that means, but you're young. If you're guilty before God, should he send you to heaven or should he send you to hell? It doesn't matter what you believe. It's like a criminal says, I don't believe in jail. It's irrelevant. The judge pounds the gavel and says, you're guilty, off to jail with you. All right? Would you go to heaven or hell?
I think, if I'm really, honestly, truly sorry for what I did...
That's not the question. Should you go to heaven or hell?
I don't want to answer that question.
Fair enough.
Because I feel like we haven't had all of the time to, really finish our lives.
Oh, you guys are killing me here. You're killing me with this. All right, you're a Christian, right? You guys are all Christian?
I probably should go to hell.
Well, you definitely should go.
I mean, if you're just going to say it like that, I really don't want to go.
I don't either, and I don't want you to go either.
I guess I'll see everybody else down there with me. So.
But it's not going to be a kegger. You're not just going to be having a party.
I know, but we're going to be punished together, so that makes it better.
It doesn't help at all.
It makes it better.
You ever go to the dentist? You got nice teeth. You been to the dentist?
I've been.
Yeah, you ever had your teeth drilled on?
Yeah.
Does it make you feel better that somebody else is getting their teeth drilled on, too?
Nope.
No! And hell's not going to become better just because other people are suffering. All right, you guys, this is so important. One of you guys, especially you with the Jesus on your chest, should say, wait a second, you're right, skinny guy. I should go to hell. But Jesus, who is God, came to this earth to die on a cross to take the punishment that I deserve so that if I repent and put my trust in Jesus...
I've been trying to say, but you're going to interrupt me. And then God has mercy on everybody.
That's right.
And like you said, he came here and died for our sins.
10 seconds. Where's my Catholic friend? Listen, Jesus, this is God, in human form, died for you because you deserve God's wrath. Jesus took the wrath for you so that you can go to heaven. But you've got to repent, which means say you're sorry, turn from your sins, put your trust in Jesus, and then you'll go to heaven based on what he did and not what you did. Because what you've earned for yourself is hell. He earned heaven for
everybody
you. Everybody else. But you've got to repent and put your trust in him. And so all the talk about being good or being a leader, whatever, it's all irrelevant. You've got to humble yourself like a little child and say you're sorry and put your trust in him as if your life depended on it, because it does. And then you'll go to heaven based on what he's done. It's the good news of the gospel. Right now, you're condemned sinners. The good news is he's your savior and he wants to rescue you. But you've got to come clean, say you're sorry, and put your trust in Jesus. And then you'll go to heaven based on what he did, not on what you did. That's the good news of the gospel. Repentance and faith. Here's the question. Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus?
No.
Completely.
No.
All right. You've got to become like a little child. You've got to be born again, which means you die to yourself and he'll make you alive. Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus?
I just did right now.
All right. I hope you'll think about it. Gentlemen, thank you very much. You have a good day. Young men, keep talking to your friends here, right? They need a little help. Gentlemen, goodbye. Okay. So often that happens, and it doesn't matter, Catholic or Protestant, that is so consistent. That happens so often. People who go to church all their life who simply don't understand the good news. And I got to tell you something, it's really not funny, because here's what these kids are getting. If they're going to a church and they're being told, hey, here's a story about Jonah, and so when God tells you to do something, you got to do it too. Otherwise, you might end up in a big fish. That is a work-righteous yoke that gets hammered onto somebody. So they leave church thinking, okay, I've got to try really hard and please God. And yet they know that they haven't. And then every time they sin, they feel like, oh, no, I've got to do something good. I've got to be like Jonah again today. And it robs them of the good news. They still have a burden conscience. And they're miserable because they are suffering underneath a work-righteous system. And it doesn't need to be a Roman Catholic system. We are doing it just fine, thank you very much, in Protestant churches all over the place. And the result are miserable people and bitter backsliders whose latter end is worse than the first. So we've got to abandon the do good for your own sake sermon and get back to gospel preaching. It's Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio.
129 people commit suicide each and every day. 129 people. That's 129 too many. As a matter of fact, this generation has the highest reported levels of clinical anxiety and depression than any other generation at the same age. People are in desperate need of help. And that's why Wretched has come out with our newest booklet, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and 13 Reasons Why You Should Live. This booklet targets the heart of anyone struggling with the issues of depression, anxiety, and suicide. You may not realize it at the moment, but you do know someone who's dealing with these issues right now. And 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide is going to provide them with the biblical answers for the struggles that they're facing. So get your copies now and give these booklets away to someone who needs hope. You can find your copies online right now at our website, wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
Brilliant. This idea is brilliant. The Masters Academy International, a ministry affiliated with John MacArthur's Master Seminary, where they teach men to rightly divide and preach the word of truth. Here's their idea. Let's have Master Seminary graduates overseas in 17 foreign countries bring in local pastors and teach them to rightly divide the word of truth. Hence, the Masters Academy International. Consider the impact on these nations. Pastors learning how to preach rightly, go back to their congregations and feed the sheep well. What an amazing investment we could make. Would you please consider doing that? TMAI.org/wretched. 17 countries. Pick the one you love and support it. TMAI.org/wretched. If you have been going bonkers and perhaps praying for alternatives to expensive health insurance, I am thrilled to commend to you MediShare. Please visit MediShare.com/wretched to learn about affordable, biblical health sharing. This just might be the answer to your prayers. Imagine Christians praying for you and sharing one another's health care burdens. Please visit MediShare.com/wretched.
Halloween is right around the corner, and Wretched has you covered. Don't Stub Your Toe is the perfect booklet to give away to trick-or-treaters coming to your door. Give away candy and the gospel this year with this 48-page booklet, perfect for all ages. Evangelizing has never been easier. Don't pass up on this amazing opportunity to give away the gospel. Visit wretched.org/toe to order your copies just in time for Halloween. That's wretched.org/toe. Wretched.org/toe.
Books of the Bible. Romans was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. It is a thorough, systematic presentation of the gospel. The two major themes are sin and righteousness. Sinners are counted righteous by imputation of Christ's righteousness. If you wish to understand the gospel, the clearest, most thorough explanation is in the book of Romans. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Wretched Radio. I'm at Georgia Tech. All right, now I've got myself a choice. There's kind of a scrawny guy with headphones and a big beefy guy with headphones. I'm going for the big beefy guy. Hey, young man, could I ask you where you're going right now?
Going to work.
Could I talk to you on the radio while we're walking together on your way to work?
Sure.
Now, what do you bench these days?
Not that much.
Come on. Much. Oh, don't be all humble. What do you bench? Okay, it's your max. What were you putting up?
The max I've ever done is 315.
So you could basically put me into a pretzel shape right now, right? Did you study any, like, jiu-jitsu or karate?
Mine was MMA fighting.
That nasty stuff in the cage.
Exactly.
Dude, you're one of those?
No, I wasn't good at it. That's why I stopped.
Did you get beat up a lot?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you got to tell me. How much does it hurt in the ring? While you're doing it, does it hurt?
Yes, it hurts.
Okay,
you don't notice it as much just because you have so much adrenaline going. But
right.
The next day when you wake up, the following morning, yeah.
You know what? Can you tell me what is the nastiest punch? What hurts the most?
The worst punch that I've ever gotten was just one of the side jaw. I didn't see it coming. Is when I first began. It was right underneath my ear.
Takes you out every time.
And it was terrible the way it twists your jaw and all that.
Yeah, but see, I've learned that when you get hit underneath the ear like that, there's something going on in your brain. It just drops you every single time. Now, here's the punch that really hurts a lot while you're in the ring. You ever been hit in the kidneys?
Yes.
That hurts.
Yes.
All right, now promise me you're not going to hit me in the kidneys, okay?
I promise you.
All right, tell me, young man, what do you believe about the afterlife?
The afterlife.
Yeah, what happens to somebody when they die?
Well, I believe that you're either heaven or hell, going to heaven or hell. And it's only through Jesus, through his forgiveness, that you can get... That's what I believe.
So you're telling me that anybody who's not a Christian is going to hell?
Yes.
No, I want to hurt you. Very intolerant.
Not necessarily Christian, but those who don't believe in Jesus. I mean, it is highly intolerable, but then again, it's not my decision, I guess.
Okay, so why do people go to hell, in your Christian opinion?
Well, everyone is born with sin.
You're calling me a sinner?
Absolutely.
Wow, how do you know?
Well, I'm Catholic. Everyone's a sinner.
I see. Okay, so what if I'm not Catholic? Am I still a sinner?
You're a sinner.
Okay, so then tell me, my Catholic friend, if I'm a sinner, what do I need to do to go to heaven?
I'm working on this. It's hard, just my beliefs in general, because does that mean you have to ask for forgiveness right before you die? Is that way you're completely clear of sin and then you go to heaven? Or...
Did you go to Catholic church all your life?
I have. I went to Catholic school, elementary school, moved to Saudi Arabia for a bit, and then came back and went to a Christian school.
What's your first name?
Sean.
Sean, there's a big difference between Catholicism and Protestantism.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on to the issue. Here's what Roman Catholicism teaches, that you somehow become a Christian. That can happen through your baptism, or you can believe in Jesus and then get baptized. And then you spend the rest of your days trying to do good works. Mm-hmm. And if you die without having committed a mortal sin, by getting last rites, and if you will, being perfect, then you'll go directly to heaven. If not, you go to purgatory where you work off your sins so that you can ultimately go to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not necessarily directly mentioned in the Bible. I mean, it's hinted, I guess.
I agree it's not mentioned in the Bible, but that's the difference between what would be considered biblical Christianity and Roman Catholicism, which combines the Bible and tradition and councils. Now, what I just described for you, this maybe sounds a little severe, but it's called a work righteous system, that you can do works and God will take you to heaven because of it.
Such as the Catholics used to make you pay money to let someone be released from purgatory.
An indulgence.
Yes.
Yeah, and these days you can take a trip to France, or you can take communion for 30 days, and then you'll get all of your sins forgiven and have a place assured in heaven.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, the indulgences aren't gone. That was one of the big things that they fought about at the Reformation, which happened in the 1500s.
Is this with Martin Luther?
Yeah, he was one of many fellows that basically said, no, there's a different system here. Because Martin Luther sensed something. He felt his guilt. He kept trying to be good. He kept trying to be good, and he kept feeling like, I'm not being good enough, and I've got this burden of guilt, and I'm starting to really resent God because this is a lot of work, and I feel guilty all the time. And so he actually ended up hating God. And then he started reading the book of Romans, and the book said, the just shall live by faith. And he started to understand the doctrine of faith alone, by grace alone, in Jesus Christ alone, which teaches that if a man or a woman will agree with God that they are a very vile, wretched sinner who is worthy of God's condemnation in hell, if he will come to that agreement with God and say he's sorry to God, in other words, repent, turn from his sins, apologize, say I'm sorry with no defense, and put his trust in Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus preached in Mark 1:15. He came declaring the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So repent and believe in Jesus. And the Bible teaches that if you do that, you surrender to God, he will save you, forgive you of all of your sins, past, present, and future, because of the work that he did to rescue you. See, if Jesus had just come to this earth and died, you could be considered not guilty. But Jesus came and lived as a man for 30-some years, keeping all the laws you've broken, fulfilling all the laws, keeping all righteousness, so that if you'll repent and trust him, you'll not just be seen as not guilty. God will see you as righteous. He will actually look at you because of what Jesus did and go, he is my beloved child because of what Jesus did. All sins forgiven. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. No works, no purgatory. In fact, our works have earned us death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life. Ephesians 2:8-9, by grace you can be saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast. Here's the difference. If you say that you work your way to heaven, and you do, somehow, in any way, shape, or form, you can get there and tell everybody what a good person you were and how you deserved heaven. Mm-hmm. The Bible says you've deserved hell, but Jesus has earned heaven for you, and that way he gets all of the credit for rescuing a wretched sinner like you and me, so that he can get all the praise. We don't get it. He gets all the praise for saving us. That's the good news of the gospel. One is work righteous, the other one is a grace-based system. Complete forgiveness or sort of forgiveness and works. That's the difference between Catholicism and what I think is biblical Christianity.
Okay.
Make sense?
It does.
Here's what I would beg you to wrestle with, all right? Read the Bible. Don't trust me. I'm a complete stranger. I'm trying to convince you this is what the Bible teaches. So read your Bible and see if what I'm saying is true. Read the book of Romans. Have you ever looked at that book? It's a New Testament book. Yeah, Paul wrote it. It's the most important letter ever written. Okay, this is Paul writing to Christians in Rome. And he lays it out this way in Romans chapter 1. We've broken God's laws. We've lived for ourselves. We hate God. We're at war with God. And for that, he condemns us because we're lawbreakers. Mm-hmm. This is a big court case. We're guilty before God. Jesus steps into the courtroom and says, Judge, set him free. And the judge says, wait a second. He's got a fine to pay. And Jesus says, I paid the fine for him because of what I did. And then you can be set free, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus did for you. That's what Romans 3 and 4 explains. And that if you will have faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone, his goodness gets credited to your account. Jesus kept the laws for you and took the punishment for you, and now you can be forgiven and granted everlasting life. Read the book of Romans. It's very clear. And you'll and that's what Martin Luther, I'm not trying to make you a Lutheran. I'm not a Lutheran. I'm not trying to make you a Lutheran. But this is what he said when he discovered the just shall live by faith. You are justified by faith alone. You are made right by faith alone. Faith doesn't save you, by the way. Jesus does. It's just what he says you must exercise in order to be forgiven by him. So you can't even brag for your faith, because that's a gift of God too. Mm-hmm. All right, here's the summary. Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Yeah, Sermon on the Mount.
You got it. And he said also, if you're just angry with somebody, he said you're in danger of judgment. You're a murderer at heart, the Bible says, because he sees the thought and the intentions of our hearts. Think about all the air you've breathed without thanking him for it, all the things you failed to do and all the things that you have done. Think about what you deserve, and then realize God knew that. He looked down through the corridors of history. He knew that you would break all of his laws, but he sent his son to die for you anyway, and you should go, amazing love, how can it be that my God would die for me? And it should cause you to drop to your knees, not because you're afraid of hell, but he's been so kind to save you from hell. God doesn't want you because you're scared.
Yeah.
He wants you because you realize how good he is. And that's why you repent. You say you're sorry, and you turn from your sins, and you put your trust in Jesus. And then he says, I will justify you, a one-time declarative act from heaven that says you're righteous now. And then you grow in holiness from there, not to earn your way to heaven, but because he has saved you from hell, and he's been good, and he's been kind, and you simply desire to become more and more like Jesus because it pleases him and you love him so much. It's a response, not a desire to earn your way there. So that's what I'd beg you to think about. One's really good news. The other one, you better start working really hard so that you don't die in your sins, which is a horrifying thought. So figure out what's true. Read your Bible. Take a look through Romans and see if what I'm saying is true. Because you can trust the Bible. Don't trust me, but you can trust the Bible.
Patience.
All right, let's do this, right? I don't want you to be late for work. I'm signing off, and we're going to walk together, all right? And then I'll be late for work. Come on, let's walk with me. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.